From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the earthly life of the Lord Jesus Christ, messages that will give insights into the various aspects of our Lord's temporal ministry, from His teaching and miracles to His atoning death on the cross and His glorious resurrection. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Solace, Security, Satisfaction. The text is found in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 5. Although my house be not so with God, yet He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although He make it not to grow. This is not so much one promise as an aggregate of promises, a box of pearls. The covenant is the ark which contains all things. These are the last words of David, but they may be mine today. Here is a sigh. Things are not with me and mine as I could wish. There are trials, cares, and sins. These make the pillow hard. Here is a solace. He hath made with me an everlasting covenant. Jehovah has pledged Himself to me and sealed the compact with the blood of Jesus. I am bound to my God and my God to me. This brings into prominence a security, since this covenant is everlasting, well-ordered, and sure. There is nothing to fear from the lapse of time, the failure of some forgotten point, or the natural uncertainty of things. The covenant is a rocky foundation to build on for life or for death. David feels satisfaction. He wants no more for salvation or delectation. He is delivered, and he is delighted. The covenant is all a man can desire. O my soul, turn thou this day to thy Lord Jesus, whom the great Lord has given to be a covenant to the people. Take Him to be thine all in all. In these troublesome times for our nation, many people are looking to the government or to social action for a solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity, ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of both Duncan Campbell's account of what happened during those revival times on Lewis, as well as a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. The CDs are available to you free of charge, simply by requesting your copies. You may write us at LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Just request your copies of the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues a message called Christ Taking Galilee by Storm Through the Power of the Holy Spirit. The principal text is Luke 4, verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Having departed from Judea, Christ came into the despised region of Galilee. There he demonstrated his mighty power in dealing with the grip Satan had on the lives of the people. There are a number of important lessons regarding serving Christ found here. The first is the message. It is the gospel of the kingdom of which Christ is the king, wielding his power against the forces of spiritual darkness. That power is what makes the gospel effective. Without it, everything else is useless. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, Christ's kingdom is characterized by three things: righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of Christ Taking Galilee by Storm Through the Power of the Holy Spirit.
When the Lord Jesus went about preaching the kingdom, it was the kingdom of heaven, the rule of heaven in the hearts of men. And he's saying, I am setting up a kingdom in the hearts of men that is opposed to all the empire of evil, all the dominion of sin. This is the kingdom of heaven. Good news indeed. Isn't that still good news for people who are slaves of passion, lust, and pride, for people who are the plaything of Satan, for people whose lives are wrecked and ruined, and there is no hope for them in self, and there's no hope for them in religion, and there's no hope for them in philosophy, and there's no hope for them in the world. Man, you can come and you can tell them the gospel of Christ the King. He is able to subdue us and our iniquities, and he's able to set up his throne in the heart of the most debauched and the most depraved, conquering the power of sin and of evil and the dominion of the devil. Bless God, there's power in the blood to set sinners free. There's power with Christ to make men new creatures. There's power with this King of grace that takes the most broken life and puts it together, takes the most debauched life and makes it clean, takes the most devil-possessed life and makes it free. Now I want to tell you, that's the gospel of the kingdom. And it's still worth preaching. And I tell it to you today, not as a matter merely of information, but as a matter of conviction. And if you're here defeated by sin, and almost to the point of being eternally damned by sin, and you wonder, is there no hope, is there no help? Then I tell you, there is both hope and help, because Christ came preaching the gospel of his sovereign power over sin. That is the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. But the Lord Jesus called his kingdom also the kingdom of God. And that speaks more of its source. It's of God as distinct as those kingdoms that come from man and from Satan. This kingdom is the kingdom of God because it comes from God. It is established by God. You'll see how restrained I'm being this morning. I'm being very restrained. Every one of these is a major theological statement. And you could take a lot of time. This kingdom comes from God, not from church activity, not from some do-gooder campaign. It comes from God. It's established by God. The church in the 19th century was completely blown off course as it bought into the notion that it could bring about the kingdom of God by its own social enterprises. And it was a disaster, both for the world and for the church. It is sustained by God. Oh, let's get that. Here's the victory. And while there's a difference between the church and the kingdom that I'm not going to go into this morning yet, for the purpose of this statement, we can make them synonymous. And if you think I'm stretching my theology there, think again. I'm not. But this, sustained by God, Jesus said of his church, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why? Because Christ is sustaining it. There's victory for the cause of God no matter how dark the day in which we live. There's victory for the church of Christ no matter how strong the opposition forces arrayed against us. What we need to do is get through to God and obtain the input of the Almighty. When this church has been under attack, when this preacher's ministry has been called in question, and there have been times when the question mark over both was great and the attack was strong, I remember distinctly going before God and saying, Lord, if this is all it takes to destroy this church, then destroy it. If this is all that it takes to destroy this preacher's ministry, then destroy it. If some little arrow from the devil, if some little slander from the world, if some attack from some minion of the pit can derail this whole work of God, then it's not a work of God at all. And many a time I've gone before God with these very words, Lord, if you will not stand up to defend this cause, then I have no interest in defending it. You see, He is the one who sustains the kingdom. He sustains it. And bless God, He does it not only in that corporate level, but in the individual level. He preserveth the souls of His saints. And when King Jesus comes to reign in your heart, I want to tell you, He sustains you, and He keeps you, and He strengthens you, and He supports you. Oh, the devil's against you, and the lusts of the flesh are against you, and the world's against you, and everything that hell can throw at you may be thrown at you. But I want to tell you, when Jesus saves you, Jesus keeps you, and He sustains you in grace. That's why I believe in the perseverance of the saints. I believe that Christ perseveres in His grace to us. God perseveres in His purpose toward us. The Holy Spirit perseveres in His application of redemption to us. And therefore we, preserved by the persevering grace of God, we go on with God. Because Christ the King says, my kingdom is the kingdom of God, and it's sustained by Him. And it is, thank God, administered by Him. Gerhardus Voss said of this kingdom, it is the actual exercise of the divine supremacy in the interest of the divine glory. That's as beautiful a definition of the kingdom as I have ever read. What is this kingdom? It is the actual exercise of the divine supremacy in the interest of the divine glory. Voss goes on to point out, not original to him, of course, because it's so plain in Scripture, three great fundamental ideas incorporated in this kingdom. The idea of power. From all that I've said, you can't get away from the idea of power. Jesus said to the Jews, Matthew 12:28, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. You see the power of the kingdom. We see it here in what we have been reading. He went about Galilee and He met the strangest and strongest manifestations of the powers of hell. And what did He do? With a word, with a touch, He destroyed them. That's power. That's power. Man, I love that statement we discussed, for I preached on, I hope you listened, a couple of months back, Romans 1, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God. It's one reason, and I'm really running ahead of myself, but I mightn't get as far as I want this morning anyway. But it's one reason I am disturbed at the movement in the modern church away from preaching. We have preachers who are trained PR men. They're trained administrators. They're trained business executives. They know how to raise money. They know how to keep people happy. They know how to do psychological counseling. But how seldom do you find somebody who has the anointing of God to preach? Now, there's a place for all these skills that these men have. And I suppose in some ways you could say it's sour grapes if I don't have those skills. But God has ordained through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I have been told, even by ministers, they think I'm living in a past century. Well, I was born in the last century. Of course, so were most of you. In fact, I think all of you. One fellow said years ago, I attended here for a while, seemed to be blessed. Then he got, I'll not tell you where he went after that. I would say it was downhill, but he thought it was uphill. And his comment was, well, you know, his preaching's very old-fashioned. He meant that as an insult. I took it as a compliment. It is old-fashioned. Now, what other preachers tell me, people nowadays are not willing to listen. Dr. Bob Jones, Jr., more than once remarked that it's not only that we should be praying to have better preachers, but we should be praying to have better listeners. Somehow I think the two things are interlinked. I don't want to be critical, but I have been to many places and I couldn't blame people for not listening. I mean, if I want to go to church and if I want to find out some funny little story, I can go buy the same joke book as the preacher. And that's what they do. I can go buy the same book of little funny stories or touching stories or whatever kinds of stories. I have books and books of illustrations and stories of all kinds. Some good, some bad, some indifferent. You can go buy the same thing. I don't go to church for that. Now, if there's an apt illustration, well and good. But there must be the preaching of the gospel with power. And I want you to take this very much to heart. The kingdom is not in word, but in power. And where there's no power, there is no exercise by the king of his kingly supremacy. The kingly supremacy of Christ is not being manifested merely by an increased or inflated budget. It's not being exercised merely by bigger and better and more plush buildings. It is only being exercised where there is the power of the gospel. And as a church, we have got to take that very seriously. I trust that it will drive us to our faces before God to be praying for the mighty exhibition of the power of God. It's the necessity for the day in which we live. The kingdom is marked by power. Second, by righteousness. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What's the force of the "and"? Is his righteousness in addition to the kingdom? I think not. When you've got the kingdom, you've got it all. Surely this is one of those occasions where it has the force, an explanatory force, and you could put in the word "even." Seek ye first the kingdom of God, even his righteousness. What is that righteousness? It is surely in this context a living in full submission to his will. In the light of our righteousness imputed, we are now seeking to live in a righteous submission to him who has saved us. That's what we're to seek. What is the kingdom? Kingdom is righteousness. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I have to tell you honestly, that is a text that haunts me. It's a text that comes to my mind again and again, and I have to bring it before the Lord, and I must confess that mostly it condemns me. What is the kingdom? What is it to be a Christian? What is it to live in submission under Christ the King? It is to live in righteousness, not in worldliness, not in half-hearted wicked sinfulness, not in selfishness, not with a tongue that runs off into slander and libel and all the rest of these things. It is not a tongue that is wicked, tearing down, hurtful. It is not a life self-centered, but Christ-centered. Righteousness and peace.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.